Chapter 13. The dampness hung like a soggy blanket and kept the water from evaporating out of the potholes. Fox glanced at the clock in the dashboard. It read 3:35. In another hour, he would reach Pembroke. He began to feel a growing urge for a healthy tot of whiskey. He passed a pair of black youngsters squatting in the ditch beside the road. He paid them no heed and did not see them as they leaped to their feet and began running in the bushmaster's dusty wake. 100 yards farther on, the road narrowed. A swamp on the right side held a rotting bed of reeds. On the left, a ravine fell more than 100 feet to a muddy stream bed. Directly ahead, a boy of about 16 stood in the middle of the road, one hand gripping a broad-bladed Zulu spear, the other hand supporting a raised rock. Fox stopped abruptly. The boy held his ground and stared with an expression of grim determination at the bearded face behind the windshield. He wore ragged shorts and a soiled, torn T-shirt that had never seen soap. Fox rolled down his window and leaned out. He smiled and spoke in a low, friendly voice. "If you have a mind to play St. George and the Dragon with me, boy, I suggest you reconsider." Fox was answered by silence. Then he became aware of 3 images simultaneously, and his muscles tensed. There was the sight of gleaming safety glass fragments that had been carelessly kicked into a rain-eroded rut. There were parallel tire marks that curved at the lip of the ravine. And the other, most tangible evidence of something dangerously wrong, was the reflection in the side mirror of the 2 boys charging toward his rear. One, a fat, lumbering youth, was pointing an old bolt-action rifle. The other swung a rusty machete above his head. "My God," Fox's mind flashed, "I'm being ambushed by schoolchildren." His only weapon was the hunting knife in the glove compartment. His family had hustled him on his way so quickly that he had forgotten to pack his favorite .44 Magnum revolver. Wasting no time by cursing his laxity, he crammed the bushmaster into reverse and mashed down on the gas. The tires bit and jerked the 4-wheel drive backward, missing the boy carrying the machete, but clipping the one with the gun, sending him spinning into the swamp. Fox then braked and shoved the gear shift into first and spun wheels toward the boy who stood poised to throw both spear and rock. There was no hint of fear in the black teenager's eyes as he rooted his bare feet and pitched both arms in unison. At first, Fox thought the boy's aim was high. He heard the spear clatter and ricochet off the roof. Then the windshield dissolved in a hail of glittering slivers, and the rock was in the front seat beside him. Fox felt the glass particle slice his face, but the only thing he remembered afterward was the cold look of hatred in his assailant's eyes. The impact lifted the boy off his feet like an elastic doll and flung him under the front wheels. Fox stomped on the brake pedal, but succeeded only in making the injuries worse. The locked tires bounced and skidded over pliant flesh, tearing skin from sinew. Fox eased from behind the wheel and cautiously walked back. The boy was dead, his skull crushed nearly flat, his skinny legs mangled chunks of crimson. The fat boy with the gun lay half in the algae-coated swamp water, half on the sloping bank. His head had been wrenched backward until it touched his spine. There was no sight of his companion. He had vanished into the swamp. Fox picked up the rifle. The breech was open and a cartridge was jammed in the receiver. He pried it out and studied the problem. The reason the fat boy had not fired was that the rifle could not. The firing pin was too badly bent. Fox threw the old gun as hard as he could into the deepest part of the mire, watching it splash and gurgle out of sight. A small lorry lay upside down in the ravine. 2 bodies sprawled from the gaping, twisted doors. A man and a woman, brutally mutilated, were shrouded in swarms of flies. It was obvious the 3 African boys had stoned the unsuspecting travelers, wounding the driver and sending the lorry hurtling into the ravine, where they had hacked to death the trapped survivors. Then, flushed and overconfident with their easy victory, they had settled down to await their next victim. "Stupid kids," he muttered amid the stillness of death. "Damn stupid kids." Like a marathon runner who had dropped out of the race 1 mile from the finish, Fox ached with exhaustion and regret. Slowly he returned to the bushmaster, sopping with a handkerchief the trickles of blood that ran down his cheek. He reached inside the door, set the frequency dial on the mobile radio, and hailed the Pembroke constable. When he finished his report, he stood and cursed and tossed poorly aimed stones at the arriving vultures.